Welcome to the Faith for My Generation podcast, where our vision is to shake and shape a generation with the power of God's Word. We're on one mission, to raise up a generation of powerful believers through the relevant teaching of God's Word. I'm so thankful that you're here today. I'm your host, AJ. Let's get into the episode. It's Thursday. It's 11:06 a.m., and we are doing another Bible study in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, and we're reading through 15 through 17. And if you see the title or the thumbnail, depending on where you're watching from, TikTok or YouTube or Facebook, on X, formerly known as Twitter, wherever you're watching from, or if you're watching the replay or listening to the podcast, we have been studying through the book of Ephesians, and this is our sixth study. If you want to go check out the previous studies that we have done, you can go to TikTok Family, click the link tree in the bio. It'll take you to the Gospel Tabernacle YouTube channel. There's a playlist there. If you're on Facebook, YouTube, or on Twitter, those videos, you just scroll back and you'll see them. They all have the same themed thumbnail. But on YouTube, it's probably the easiest because there's a playlist. It's entitled Studies in Ephesians. Not very creative, but it gets the job done. And it's easy for you to understand what we're actually studying about in that playlist. Now, with that being said, we have been looking at, starting in chapter 4, some different topics. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we are called out to live a brand new life. Hey, Mr. Donnie, glad that you're on. We're to live a brand new life. We talked about putting on the new man and what that looks like. How that actually takes place. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in us that we have learned Christ. We talked and discussed it about how we are to not grieve the Holy Spirit, but rather to walk holy before Him, not to anger unto sin, not to speak lies, not to steal, not to let corrupt words pass through our mouth, but rather we are to give God glory in everything that we do. Then in chapter 5, there's three different walks that we see in the book of Ephesians. We are to walk in love, we're to walk in light, we're to walk in wisdom. We walk in love because we imitate God, because we're children of God. We walk in light because we're children of light, and we walk in wisdom because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. Now, we're going to break up this passage. Really, it's verses 15 through 21 is the entire passage. But between this Thursday and next, we're going to break it up into two sections. And we're going to look at the first three verses in Ephesians 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. If you're in a place and you can grab your Bible, I encourage you to do so. Read along with me. If not, I'll make sure to read the scriptures out loud, plainly, maybe even a few times, so we can actually understand what the Bible's teaching us. And then we're going to break it down point by point. Let's do this. Let's pray before we start. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for this, Lord. We ask for wisdom by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that when we go to your word, it's your desire for us to have understanding, to gain insight, and have revelation, have a understanding, a knowing of your truth. And we're thankful that as we commit this time on this Thursday morning to study your word, that exactly that will happen. We will receive understanding and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name. If you agree, if that's your prayer, type amen in the comments. And let's read Ephesians 5, verses 15, 16, and 17. Let's do it. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I'm going to read that again, those three verses. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I have this written down, kind of gives us an intro in what we're going to look at this morning. Having learned Christ, Ephesians 4:20 tells us that we've learned Christ. Having learned Christ, we walk in love, we walk in light, and we walk in wisdom. The walking in the wisdom of God is the key to buying up every opportunity so that we can do the will of God. The basic requirement to walking in the wisdom of God is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit's empowerment and our surrender to His leading, we live a life that overflows with joy, thanksgiving, submission, and the fear of the Lord. We leave no room for foolishness, only wisdom. I want you to type in the comments for me. Type in the comments, I walk in wisdom. A declaration of faith, I walk in wisdom. Make it personal. I walk in wisdom. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Yulia, glad that you're on. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now, that word circumspectly, I don't know about you, but I don't use the word circumspectly a whole lot. I don't know if I ever use it other than when I read this passage. So what does circumspectly mean? What does that mean? To walk, I wrote down the definition. To walk circumspectly means to live always watching for Satan's trickery and schemes, avoiding dangers and enemies of God's truth, so that we put the gospel on display through our lives. So to walk circumspectly is to be spiritually awake and watchful. You know, it's interesting. All through the New Testament, there is this theme of being awake, of having your eyes open. Ephesians 1 actually has a prayer. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 20 or so. There's a prayer that the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, prays for the church. And it's a good prayer for us to pray. And we should pray it for ourselves and for the church, that our eyes, the eyes of our heart, the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Because there's something very powerful that takes place when we surrender to the knowledge of God and to the wisdom of God. It's like you're waking up. You know, if you're asleep at night, you know, or whenever your schedule is, maybe you're a second or third shift, you work graveyard shift, so maybe you sleep during the day, right? You're in the land of, you actually come out to the land of the living every now and then. But maybe, depending on your cycle, you're sleeping at different times. But whenever you're asleep, well, what's going on? Well, not a whole lot. You're still breathing. Your body's still digesting. Your blood's still pumping. Your heart's still going, but everything's kind of slowed down. You're in a slumber, right? Everything's kind of slow, it's kind of quiet, not a lot of movement. In fact, if you move too much, you'll probably wake yourself up. My son, Samuel, he will be 3 months old in about a week and a half. 3 months old. Man, time just flies by. But, you know, if you have children, grandchildren, you've babysat, you've got younger siblings, when babies, you know, or especially when they're small in the first few months, they have that startle reflex, right? And my son, Naomi, did it. My daughter did it. All babies do it, I'm sure. But if they get startled, they can be completely asleep and they'll throw their hands up, right? And lots of times they'll wake them own selves up. Why? Because a lot of movement took place. Whoa, what's going on? And they wake them own selves up. But when someone's asleep, there's not a lot of movement. There's not a lot going on. It's real quiet. It's at a place where you're not noticing things that go on. In fact, when you're sleeping, you know, if you hear a big noise, maybe depends on how deep of a sleeper you are, you may sleep through a whole lot of noise. It may take a lot of noise to wake you up. It may take a lot of a commotion or something going on to wake you up. And it made me think of this. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6 says this, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. And this has to go along with that idea that we're to walk circumspectly. We're actually to have our eyes open and to be aware. 1 Thessalonians 5 is telling us we don't need to be asleep, but we need to be those of the day. We need to be watchful. We need to be looking and seeing. It's 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Throw a lion emoji in the comments if you want to. Like a king of the jungle, lion emoji. Throw that in the comments. 1 Peter chapter 5, Verse 8 says this, be sober or be watchful. Be sober, be watchful. Be self-controlled, be vigilant, be watchful. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So 1 Peter chapter 5 is telling us to be self-controlled, sober, be vigilant, watchful, because our adversary, the devil, he's walking around like a lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He can't just devour anyone. He's looking for people that have open doors. He's looking for folks that are asleep. He's looking for prey. He's looking for someone that he can take out. He can't just walk into your life and take someone out. He can attack for sure, but he can't just go in and wreak havoc and destruction unless there is an opportunity given to him. And one of those ways is to walk apart from the wisdom of God. If we walk without the wisdom of God, and understand, we've talked about this before for those that are joining us for the first time today, the book of Ephesians tells us seven different times it uses the word walk, seven times. That may not seem like a lot, but in this particular letter it is, and every time the word walk is used in the book of Ephesians, it has to do with your lifestyle. It has to do with how you live. It has to do with walking with God. It has to do with what you say and what you think and what you do, your actions. It has to do with the conduct of your life. So for us to walk or to live apart or without or void of the wisdom of God is to set us up for failure. That's why in this first verse, 15, see then that you walk circumspectly. You need to make sure your eyes are open. I tell my daughter this all the time. My daughter is 3 years old and she's a hoot. She has got a personality. She's 3 going on 33. I mean, she's got a personality and a plenty of attitude to spare. She's hilarious. She's got a great sense of humor, I think. It's my sense of humor. That's why I like it. But she's got a great sense of humor. But let me tell you something. All the great things that there's good about her, and it's probably not just her. It's probably kids in general. When she walks, she's still learning the concept. And I tell her all the time, Naomi, you need to look where you're walking. Because she will be walking around, and what will she do? She will just run into stuff. She'll trip over things. And it's like, it's not hidden. It's right there. She just walks, you know, and she'll be, nah, 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 wham, oh, whoa. I didn't realize there was a couch in this living room, right? Well, why did she not see it? She has eyes, and they're open, but she's not looking where she's going. It's no different than to walk this life. It's no different than to live this life without the wisdom of God. I can pretend like I can live life without God's truth. But, you know, all that's going to do is end up in heartache and destruction and brokenness. It's going to end in a place where you're deceived. And if you don't break out of that deception, if you die in deception, having not your sins washed by the blood of Christ, rightly so, you will go to a real place called hell. Now, always on TikTok, we've got a lot of great friends in TikTok. I don't mute anyone. I don't block anyone. The very people that oftentimes copy and paste 17 times in a row are the people I'm wanting to reach with the love of Christ Jesus. But the reality is, you, me, anyone, we have all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We are all in desperate need of a Savior. The Bible tells us that the paycheck for the work of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And apart from His saving work, washing us clean of our sins, we will rightly inherit a place of eternal standing, eternal living called hell. It's a real place. And heaven is a real place. Now, Jesus said in the book of Matthew that hell was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. It was made for Satan and those angels that committed high treason and had a treasonous act against God. Satan in pride. We did a whole series on pride during the month of June. Worked out pretty well, actually. The algorithm appreciated us a lot. But we entitled this a six session series, Pride Goes Before Destruction. In the first, our second episode, we talked about the devil and how he lifted himself up in pride and it brought destruction to him. Pride always brings destruction. Well, Jesus says hell was made for Satan and those angels that went out in a rebellious act against God Almighty. But if you and I follow in that path of rebellion, right behind Satan, it's called sin, we'll go to the same destination he's going. This is why Christ came to the earth to set people free. This is why people must hear the gospel. For faith comes by hearing, and faith when you hear and hearing by the word of God. And that's the wisdom of God. Now you can choose to accept wisdom or not. I can pretend that, you know, electricity isn't in the socket behind me. I've got sockets in these plug-ins, sockets, whatever you want to call them. Sockets is actually the correct word for them. In my office, I've got about six different sockets. I can pretend there's no electricity in that socket. I know what they say, but I don't believe it. Nah. But if I stick my finger in that socket, I will be a believer. Live life void of the wisdom of God and see how far down the road you get. Someone, Karina, if you don't want to see the comments, you can just swipe. You can just swipe the comments away as you're watching live stream. I do it all the time. And then you can swipe back when you want to comment. Now, look at this. Verse 15, we'll read it one more time. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So for me to walk without the wisdom of God, for me to walk blinded, not looking and being aware that Satan has a desire to destroy me, to scheme and bring destruction against my life, and if at all possible, make sure that I never inherit the promises of God here on earth or in eternity, to destroy me eternally, spirit, soul, and body. That's what he's wanting to do. For me to not walk in the wisdom of God and be aware of what's going on, is for me to be foolish. There's no gray area. I'm either going to be wise or I'm going to be foolish. I will either be wise or I will be foolish. But when it comes to the things of God, there's no middle ground. Really, when it comes to things in life, there's no middle ground. You're either gaining wisdom or you're lacking wisdom. You know, we can see this naturally, especially like with technology, right? Technology is constantly changing. Technology is constantly changing. And if you're not, and maybe depending on what kind of work you do, or maybe you're in school, wherever you're at, in whatever stage of life you're at, or just things you do for hobbies or enjoyment, there's always something new that you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to possess more knowledge so that you can actually function on the job, in a hobby, at school, whatever it may be doing, social media, different things, this live streaming. I mean, everything that I've got set up, this is not the setup I had 2.5 years ago when I started live streaming. Things have changed. Softwares have changed. Gear has changed. And I had to go and get more wisdom, or eventually what would happen is I would have become obsolete with the system I had and I would not be doing this. And so it's no different with the things of God. You have to grow in the things of God. You have to continually seek the wisdom of God. Now, how do you do that? How do you seek the wisdom of God? A great way is to open up your Bible every single day and read the Word of God. 3 to 4 chapters a day, and you'll read the entire Bible in 1 year. Now, do you have to read the Bible every year? You don't have to. You could read it more. But really, what we're talking about is about 18 to 20 minutes. Right now, again, in the stage of my life, my son, he still wakes up probably around 2 or 3. It depends. Depends on how early he goes to bed. But he wakes up around 2 or 3. And so I usually get up and I'm feeding him in that middle of the night. Or if he sleeps till about 4:30 or so, man, then I get up. It just depends on if my wife had to get up before or not and nurse him. Or it just depends on the schedule in that night. But lots of times he'll sleep till about 4, and I'm an early riser, so I'll just go ahead and get up then. And I'll feed him. And I have no idea where I was going with that. Well, I just lost the thought because I'm thinking about waking up and feeding. Oh, reading your Bible. There we go. Thank you, Lord. Reading your Bible takes about 17, 18 minutes. What do I do? If I get up and I'm awake, if I'm sitting there in bed anyway, feeding him, I make most of that time, which is going to lead us into this next verse, verse 16. I'm going to redeem the time. So I'll whip out my iPad or my phone. I prefer a paper Bible. I prefer a paper Bible. I love, 90% of the time I'm reading out of a paper Bible. But in that situation, the lights are low. Your phone, your iPad, it's backlit. It's easy. And so this morning was an earlier wake up, around 2 o'clock. But I got 3 or 4 chapters reading in. And I wasn't half asleep doing either. I already gotten up, got a drink of water, got the bottle fixed and all that. Got him out, changed the diaper. And then I sit down. And by the time he's finished, I've gotten 3 chapters in for the day. Like, it doesn't take that much time. But what do I get? Well, in my reading, I'm reading through the book of 1 Samuel. Well, what did I learn today? What wisdom did I gain today? The wisdom I gained today is that God desires obedience more than sacrifice. Let me show you this. This is just from my personal experience. When it comes to gathering up and gaining and constantly receiving the Word of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Samuel 15:22. So Samuel said to King Saul, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed, to listen to the point that you actually change your ways, that's better than the fat of rams. For rebellion, to go against the wisdom of God, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king." Well, look, I read 3 chapters. That's just 2 verses in those 3 chapters. But here I am, redeeming the time, getting the wisdom of God. And I've read that verse many times before. But it's good for me to continue to read that truth that's in God's Word so that I build up faith in my heart and in my life to understand that God cares the most about obedience. So maybe I can do an outward work of worship, sacrifice, offering in this situation in the life of King Saul. He's sacrificing. He's bringing a sacrifice which is correct according to law, but he himself as king was not certified or ordained by God to do that. The priest had to do it. But Saul says, God wants a sacrifice. Whether Samuel the prophet and priest does it or whether I do it, it's not that big deal. Let's just get the job done. But it was a disobedient. Even though he did the outward act, it was a disobedient heart. And God cares more about obedience. God cares more about you and I being obedient. And so that allowed me to get that truth in my heart and in my mind one more time. That when it's all said and done, Lord, I want to be obedient. Lord, I don't ever want to get to a point where maybe I look really good on the outside, but my heart is disobedient. I never want to be at a point where it's just a game. I never want to be at a point where it's just dead religion. I want to be in a living, loving relationship with you. And I want my heart to be pure before you. I want my motives to be right before you. I want to be in a place where when I do something, it's out of obedience. It's out of faithfulness, not out of show, not out of a desire to outwardly display, for the sake of people seeing, quote unquote, my faith in God, but that it's real, that anything that's done outwardly is simply the fruit. It's simply the outworking of inward faith. Smokey FZ1 on TikTok says, in all caps, so it's very serious, all caps, do to your son what God will do to you if he's disobedient. Well, that's interesting that he says that, because my son, he's yet to learn right from wrong at this point. But when he does, I will do to him what I do to his sister, my daughter, which is correct. Correct him. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And if you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, my son, do not despise the chastening, the discipline of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, discipline, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which shall become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Verse 11 of Hebrews 12. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So I'm thankful that Smokey Z put that in all caps, because that means it was very serious. But you can see here, being a little snarky, I enjoy that. It's the 10th fruit of the Spirit. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that as a child of God, God will correct us. Now think about that. We're talking about walking in wisdom. We're walking in wisdom. If we're going to walk in the wisdom of God, that implies that if we get out of the wisdom of God, out of the will of God, there is a correction and a discipline that comes down from God. And that shouldn't upset us, but rather it should make us feel all the more loved. Because I tell you this, as a parent of two precious, wonderful children, children are an inheritance from God. Children are an inheritance from God. Psalms 127 tells us that. They are like arrows in the quiver of a righteous man, so that we can direct their paths for the things of God. And I will direct my children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and they will be richly blessed for it, here and in the life to come. But as a good father, only a good father, only a good mother corrects and disciplines their children. Parents, I know we've got some parents watching. If you're a parent or a grandparent and you're watching, tell me in the comments if this is not true. Temporarily, right now in the moment, it is 100 times easier just to let your kids do whatever they want to do. When they're tired and they're whining and they're being real hard-headed and disobedient, it's 100 times easier just to give in and let them do what they want to do in the moment. Is that not true? I know it's true for me. It's 100 times easier just to put, you know, when my daughter's already had enough screen time for the day, but she wants to watch even more TV, it's so much easier just to give in and say, okay, sure, go ahead, whatever, fine, go, I'm tired, right? In the moment. But what do you actually do? You say no, you stick to your gun, say no, we're not doing that, I've already told you that, we need to go play. I don't want to play. Look, we're going to go play. Put the foot down. And, you know, people can roast me in the comments. A few people that probably don't even have kids can roast me in the comments. And then there's times where I have to correct. And my daughter, she's 3. She knows right from wrong in many areas of life. And so we spank. We believe in spanking in the Bible household. Now, you know, there's going to be at least one person say, oh, that's child abuse. No, it's not. Absolutely not. God put a little bit of extra cushion on the rear end for the purpose of correction. As one gentleman I heard just recently say, his mother would apply the board of education to the seat of his understanding. And let me tell you something. Correction, when you get out of God's wisdom, brings you back in. Because a parent that really loves the Mighty Five, I like that. The parent that really loves their child will correct them. Smokey Z1 must have watched a YouTube video or so, but he says this, the Bible says to stone them to death. What he's referring to is in the book of Deuteronomy, where there's one time where it says, for the son that is wayward, who who is living in sin, who is drunken, who will not work, who is adulterous, that person who is committing those sins and will not repent is to be stoned to death under the Old Testament law. Absolutely true. Now think about it. If the Bible's commanding that that son must work, shouldn't be drunk, shouldn't be adulterous, does that sound like a 4-year-old or maybe a 30 or 40-year-old who has continued down the path of sinfulness and is breaking the laws of God, not just toward himself, but towards other people? He's stealing, he won't work. Does that sound like a 3-year-old or a 30-year-old? And the difference is very, very powerful. Very powerful. Because at that point, that person has complete and total understanding of the wrongdoing they're doing, and they continue to hurt, harm, and destroy. And I tell you what, when the punishment is strong, the breaking of the law is few and far between. Few and far between. But because we are given the wisdom of God, we can walk in a way that redeems the time. Ephesians 5, verse 16. I went off, it seems like a detour, but Hebrews 12 tells us that. When we get off of the wisdom of God, off the path of wisdom, God corrects us. And we want to be corrected. Thank God that He corrects us. Because we want to be in a place that we buy up every opportunity to do the will of God. Ephesians 5, verse 16. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. So there's a certain way that we should live so that we can actually buy up every opportunity that God gives us to redeem the time. The word redeem means literally to buy back. And you might think about this in your life. You know, there's a period of time in your life. We will, Jennifer, we will pray for them. It gets fun over here on the TikTok chat, for sure. There's a period in time in your life where you didn't live for Jesus. All of us have that period of time. Some it's longer, some it's shorter, some it's more all out, some maybe not as much out, but nonetheless, we've all lived in our own sin, in our own brokenness, serving our own lust of our flesh, doing what we wanted to do. We were not confessing Christ Lord or living under His Lordship. And then when we put our faith in Jesus, everything changes. The old has been washed away. Everything has become brand new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. And so I know that you have the same desire that I do. I want that previous old AJ in that life to be extremely small in the grand scheme of things as far as time is spent. And I want the point that I believed on Jesus going forward to be the biggest part of my life. Now, you might say, now let's just think about this logically. What if someone comes to Jesus? I know I have some friends like this in our church. They came to Jesus in their 60s, 70s, 80s. They may only live another 20 or 30 years. And you might say, well, now they've lived longer without Jesus than they have for Him. But Ephesians 5:16 tells us that we can redeem the time. I'm going to read that one more time, and then I'm going to take you to Psalms 90. Ephesians 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Add verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So when we get an understanding of the will of God, we can buy up these opportunities. We can look at every single day, every hour of every day as an opportunity to do more for Christ than we did in our old life for Satan. And we have to live that way. We have to be on purpose. It's a sad thing to see someone who was all out for themselves in sin, then when they get saved, they think, well, I guess I just now all I need to do is just, you know, fill a pew. Just warm a pew and just kind of meander through life and that should be good, right? No. The same intensity, and sometimes we hear these powerful testimonies of huge, miraculous change, which the reality is every person that gets saved, it's a miraculous change. But maybe in natural ears and eyes, it seems like, wow, this person was really, really down deep in darkness of sin. And now they're really on fire for God. That should be said for all of us. That should be said for all of us. We should all live in such a way that we are aware we have but so much time on this earth, and we want to live all out for Christ Jesus. If you want to live all out for Christ Jesus, put an emoji hand in the comment section. If you want to be in a place where the life you now are living for Christ is all out, totally on fire for Him, redeeming, buying up every opportunity to glorify God, let me know in the comments section. I know that's your heart. Psalms 90, verse 12. This particular verse I heard in a teaching by Dr. Gene Lingerfeld out of Faith Christian Center in Fort Worth, Texas. In 2017, he did a special message. He does a couple of these a year to the men of his church. They're good. They're so good. Because men and women, they're just made different. They're built different. And different means of communication and topics speak differently to men than they do women. And so he does these men's conferences, and they're strong and they're high octane. They're good stuff. Very motivating. And he did this message. It's entitled, The Habits of Lions. Now, just for right there, guys that are listening, like, yeah, I like that title. The Habits of Lions. Come on. Yeah, I'm a lion. I want to be a lion. The Habits of Lions. And in that message, he gives different daily disciplines that build up a lifestyle that is fierce and on fire and full of faith. And one of those, Bob Smith, high octane sounds like toxic masculinity, to be honest. That's what I'm going for. When this world, when the current day and age, when someone in 2023 tells you you're showing toxic masculinity, that's what I'm shooting for. That's my aim. Because what the world calls toxic masculinity is being a man. Is there toxic masculinity? Yes. A man to be effeminate. An effeminate man is the most toxic masculine form of masculinity there is. And so Pastor Gene, he put in there, and one of the things was that every man and woman, of course, every person has to live on purpose. We have to live on purpose. Psalms 90, verse 12. And when I heard this verse, it rocked my life. 2017, it's 6 years later, I still know this verse by heart. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This verse is in Psalm 90, which is a prayer that Moses prays for the people of God. And one of his petitions in this prayer, Psalm 90, for the people of God, is to have such laser-focused clarity and to have the wisdom of God so that we can actually number our days. Actually be aware that the life we live on this earth doesn't last forever. Newsflash, this life doesn't last forever. It doesn't. Every single one of us, the Bible tells us, what is it? Hebrews 9:23. Hebrews 9, verse 27, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Every single person has an appointment with judgment, with death. We're not going to live forever. This life will not go on forever. And at the point of judgment, if you have faith in Jesus, you are made righteous by the righteousness of God. And then your spirit and soul spend eternity in heaven and then in the new heavens and new earth. But if you are not found righteous and you've not been washed clean by the blood of Christ, and you have died in your sins, then you spend all of eternity in a real place called hell. Now, it's interesting, when you talk about basic Bible concepts, it makes people upset. Heaven and hell are realities. But people that don't want to believe in heaven and hell often are the very people we want to reach so that they don't go to hell. If I was on my way to hell, I would certainly want to believe that there is no hell. If I didn't want to submit to the Lordship of Christ, I would pretend as if there is no God. If I didn't want to be under subjection and submit to the holiness and the truth of God, I would act like everything the Bible says is a myth. But all that does is put you in a place of deception as if this life goes on forever, and then when it's over, well, that's just it. There's nothing else left. Sure. Okay. Keep telling yourself that, but rather you shouldn't. Hear the word of the Lord today. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. Now is the appointed time to come to Christ. And when you come to Jesus, one of the things we want to do is to number our days. Now, again, this isn't a grim idea, or at least it shouldn't be. It should put you in a place that you realize every day that I'm given is a treasure and a gift from God Almighty. Every day that I have is an opportunity to bring glory to God. Everything that I have in my hands, every resource, every person I come in contact with, every waking moment, every word I speak, every thought I think, is another opportunity to bring glory to God and to win people for Christ. And that's how you have to, if you're walking in the wisdom of God, you're going to redeem the time. You're going to number your days. Listen, I love this. Acts 13, verse 36 says this: "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep," he died, "was buried with his fathers, and he saw corruption concerning the decay of his body," is what it's referring to. But I like this verse because it says, after David had served his own generation by the will of God, then he died. When did David die? After he had served his generation according to the will of God. David had a mission. He completed the mission. Then he dies. When is it time to die? At the point you've completed the call of God on your life. You might say, well, do you ever get to that point? David did. I think there's a place where you get to a point where you've done it. You fought the good fight. Paul did it, right? He fought the good fight. He ran the race. He didn't give up. And we have to, and the only way you're going to be persistent in this life following Jesus is to have an awareness that I don't have forever to accomplish what God's called me to do. I like that. Melissa puts in there, run the race. Absolutely, you've got to run the race. And Paul makes that point. What is that? 1 Corinthians 9. He actually makes this point concerning like putting the body under discipline. But listen to this. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. They have self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air," not just shadow boxing. Verse 27, "I discipline my body," literally the flesh, "put it under, bring it under subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul's making the point here, I'm living on purpose. I want you to type that in the comments. Live on purpose. Put that in the comments for me. Live on purpose. If you're walking in the wisdom of God, you're going to live on purpose. Berserker girl, or berserk girl. You said what verse? That was 1 Corinthians 9. Verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Type in the comments, live on purpose. When you walk in the wisdom of God, you live on purpose. And what is the purpose? And okay, before I get there, I've got to read this to you. Let me read this quote concerning living on purpose. I wrote this. When you're aware of eternity, you're going to live on purpose. Jonathan Edwards, an American Puritan preacher and revivalist of the First Great Awakening that took place around the 1760s, along with George Whitefield, made many resolutions. He has a whole list of resolutions he made. Two of these resolutions are seen in a quote that I've written here that ends in a prayer he often prayed so that he would not lose sight of the purpose of living, which is eternity. And this is what Jonathan Edwards states. Where will all of our worldly enjoyments be when we are laid in the silent grave? Resolved to live as I shall wish I had done when I come to die. Resolved to live as I shall wish I had done 10,000 ages hence. And this is the prayer he prayed. Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. He made two resolutions. When I'm dead, I want the life that I've lived to be one that I'm happy of. At the point of death, at the point of coming to the end, I want to be able to look at all my life and say, I did what I should have done. And then he said, I made a resolution that 10,000 years after I've died, I can look back and say, you know what? I lived the way I should have lived. And then he prayed that prayer that he was often heard praying. Lord, stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Stamp eternity on my eyeballs. Because you only have certain opportunities to do certain things. There's doors that open up in your life that you, by the wisdom of God, you have to take hold of them. Because some opportunities, they come and go. Listen to this. Matthew 26. There is a event that takes place prior to Christ going to the cross. Before Jesus dies on the cross, there's something that takes place. This woman with a precious vial of oil comes to anoint Jesus' feet, head and feet, for his burial. And let me read this to you, and then we'll see how she was walking in the wisdom of God. Verse 6 says this, when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. She poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, but you do not have me always. For in pouring out this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. And here we are, some 2,000 some odd years later, I'm still reading about what she did in faithful worship. This precious lady, by her spirit, was drawn to Jesus right before he is arrested. This is right before Jesus sits down to have the Last Supper with the disciples, before he's arrested and taken away and then to die on the cross. That evening, this woman finds where Jesus is, goes in, washes his feet with her tears and dries it with her hair, and she's pouring out this oil on her head, on his head and on his feet, and preparing him for burial. Preparing him for burial. And this flask of oil, you can look at the other gospel accounts concerning this. This flask of oil probably was equivalent to a laborer's entire year's worth of money. This lady spent an entire year's worth of money to buy precious, fragrant, perfumed oil to anoint Jesus' body before he would die on the cross. Now, I think it's interesting. We see in another gospel account, the main person that's getting upset is Judas the betrayer. He also holds the money bag. And he's the one that said, why is this woman pouring out this oil all over your feet and your head and it's just pouring all over the ground? It's so wasteful. It is so wasteful. Whew. We could have sold it and given the money to the poor. You know, usually, dead religious people, wicked people, tell you what to do with your money. It's always interesting, isn't it? There's people who have plans not for their money, but for your money. Isn't that interesting? Won't they just do what they want to do with their money? Why do they care about what you do with yours? But Judas, who, the Bible tells us, often stole money out of the money bag, he was like thinking, man, that's a lot of money. Whew, that would have been nice to have some of it. And then it comes off real religious. We could have given it to the poor. He ain't going to give it to the poor. He's going to steal it. Anyway, this woman, think about it. I want you to see the power of the wisdom this woman walked in. Oop. This woman had one opportunity. One opportunity to anoint Jesus' feet and head before his burial. There's not another time where she gets to do this. There's one time in all of history of mankind, in all the history of history, there's one time, there's one evening, there's not multiple evenings, there's one evening before Jesus is taken to the cross. It's that evening. He's in one house. He's not in a bunch of places. He's eating dinner at one place on one evening, and there is one opportunity that this woman has to anoint Jesus with this precious oil. If she doesn't do it this night, she never gets a second chance. When you walk in the wisdom of God, you redeem up the time. You buy up. You take every single opportunity. I love that story. I think it's so powerful to me that, I mean, it's a historical event. It actually took place. She was a real woman, and we're still talking about her today. But I love her urgency that she had of the time. She had an urgency of the time. You know, as Christians, we have to live urgent, Jennifer says on Facebook. So Judas was the first ever politician. Sounds like he would have made an excellent politician. Give me the money to do this work. I'm going to put it in my pocket, actually. But this precious woman, she took advantage of the one opportunity she had. May we never miss those God-ordained opportunities. May we never let them pass us by, because they can if we're not watchful, if we're not looking. We finish with this, Ephesians 5, verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. When you get an understanding of God's will, again, what is God's will? It's His Word. When you get an understanding of God's will, that's when you're walking wise. That's when you're freed from foolishness. That's when you're able to redeem up the time. That's when you're able to walk in a place that God anoints and God empowers. When you're walking in God's wisdom, you're going to have the best of life. When you're walking in God's wisdom, you're going to have the favor of God on your life. When you're walking in God's wisdom, God's going to be in a place where He is promoting you. That's scriptural. 1 John 5, James chapter 4, 1 Peter 5 both tell us that God lifts up those that humble themselves. What a walk in God's wisdom. You're required to humble yourself. You're saying, Lord, I believe you know much more than I do, so I submit to what you say, and I'm going to obey it. Colossians 4, 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. That's where Colossians' testimony of it. When we walk in the wisdom of God, we redeem the time. I think every single one of us would want to do that. I think every single one of us desires to do that. And you know, if you're watching on the live stream or the replay, or you're listening to the podcast on replay, and you've never put your faith in Christ Jesus, you've never been in a place where you submitted to His wisdom. And what is His wisdom? That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So that whoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because the Bible tells us all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the paycheck, the wages for the work of sin is death. But the gift of God is Christ Jesus, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. What's the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is this, that when you believe in your heart Jesus is the risen Son of God and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. What's the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. So maybe you're watching, you're listening, you never put your faith in Jesus. Or at some point in time you did, but you walked away from Christ and you walked away from His wisdom. Now's the time to repent. What's the wisdom of God? Repent, for now is the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of God approaches. What's the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is this, that there is but a short time for all of us before we will stand in that place of judgment. And that person that stands in a place of judgment before a holy, loving, and just God without the precious blood of Christ pleading on their behalf, it will end in destruction and it will bring judgment for all of eternity. That's not God's desire for you. God's desire for you is salvation. The Bible says that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Christ has come to give life and give it abundantly. That's God's desire. The Bible tells us that God demonstrated His love for you and that while you were dead in sins, Christ died for you. I want you to pray this prayer. If you want to receive Christ and enter into His wisdom, or you want to rededicate your life today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I repent of my sins, and I confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Lord of my life. I believe that You sent Your only begotten Son to die on my cross for my sins to fill my grave so that I might have His life. I confess Jesus is Lord and He is my Lord. Wash me clean. Thank You for making me brand new. I'll live for You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to do something for me. If you're on TikTok and you prayed that prayer, you can go to my profile, click on my name, click the link tree, and it will take you to a landing page. The very first tab says, I just got saved. If you fill out that form, I will mail you a study guide that my pastor here, Pastor Leon, wrote. And if you take that study guide with your Bible and you read through it and you study it, it will help you become a very strong Christian. And that's what Jesus wants for you. He wants you to be a strong disciple. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or on Twitter, I just posted in the comments the link. Go to that form, fill out the page, fill out the information, and we'll mail you completely free a Bible study that you can take with your Bible, study it through, read it through, and become a strong disciple. Free of charge, completely free. That's what we do here at Gospel Tabernacle. We are a charismatic teaching ministry. We believe in the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that confirms the Word of God, and we have since 1982 preached the Word of God with faith, and we continue to do so. And we want to help you become a strong disciple in Jesus' mighty name. Ellie Mae, God bless you. Glad you're doing so well. Glad that you're on. Thankful for you. Pray you're having a great day so far. Hey, I'm thankful for everyone that's jumped on. Jennifer and different folks that have watched on the TikTok, on the Facebook, YouTube, and such. Hey, I always go back. If you're watching on Facebook, I always go back and edit it so that immediately when people see this later in their feed, it immediately goes to the teaching. I edit the first few minutes of intro. But if you want to, go ahead and share that. You can share it to your story, share it to your feed. TikTok, make sure that you follow. YouTube, subscribe. We will be back on next Thursday at 11 a.m. for another Bible study when we talk about being filled with the Spirit. We're going to finish that section of Scripture. We're going to start at verse 18 where it tells us, be filled with the Spirit. We're going to talk about exactly what that means. If you're in the upstate of South Carolina on a Sunday morning and you want to come join us at Gospel Tabernacle, Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. we have service. Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., which was last night, but this coming Sunday, 10:30 a.m., come join us. Love to have you be a part. I'm preaching part two, the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. Part two this Sunday, the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. You want to join us in person? Come be my guest. I'll take you out to Chick-fil-A for lunch afterwards. Yeah, that joke's probably getting old by now. It still takes some people a while to catch it. They're like, oh, nice, I'm going to get the number 4 spicy. No, wait a minute, it's not open. Or if you want to watch the live stream, where you're watching right now, TikTok, click on the link tree, and you can go find the Gospel Tabernacle YouTube page. Subscribe there. But where you're watching on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, it's all on there as well. Hey, I'm thankful for you, that watch and that listen. I appreciate you. I pray that you have a great rest of your day, and I will see you soon. God bless.
Thanks so much for joining me for this episode of the Faith for My Generation podcast. Remember, every Monday I've got a brand new wake-up call for you, and every Thursday I've got a brand new episode right here on Faith for My Generation podcast. And remember, we are the faithful.